It's from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a lonely place apart. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. As he went ashore, he saw a great throng, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a lonely place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We've only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven. And he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. There's a whole lot going on with this story. We all learned it as children and seen on felt boards, it acted out and so on. It starts with an odd phrase. After he heard this, this is what Jesus did. Well, what he heard was that John the Baptist had been executed. He was horrified and grieved. And his response to that was to try to get away, to go away to a lonely place. But by now he's a celebrity, and the crowds follow. So Jesus' mindset at the start of this story is he is horrified and aggrieved, wanting to be alone, and followed by the crowds. It's also, interestingly enough, apart from the crucifixion, it's the only story or event in Jesus' life that's recorded in all 4 Gospels. We only have the Christmas story in 2 of them. So it's as though if you know one thing about Jesus in addition to the crucifixion, you know that he fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Just a tiny little bit went a long way. And so the underlying question to this morning's conversation here is, what can Jesus do with a little bit of good? And I've sort of got 2 layers of this. Thinking in terms of big picture, all of us together, and thinking in terms of, well, just us living inside our own heads and maybe with the people we love. Big picture stuff, what can be done with just a little bit of good? Oddly enough, it makes me think of federal income tax. Where's he going with this? Well, I was looking at my pay stub the other day, it's sort of the new year and all that, and I noticed the federal tax withholding that Texas Tech does as a percentage of gross income, in the withholding part, apart from what happens when I get the tax return done, is 18%. So 18 cents on a dollar of what I earn goes in effect to fund the federal government. I'm not sure I like that. Federal government's doing some things with my money I'm not sure they ought to be doing. Except, not with most of it. For 18 cents on a dollar, I get the National Park Service. I get the Interstate Highway System to take me there. I get the full weight and power of the U.S. military, the FBI, Homeland Security, and on it go. For 18 cents on a dollar, how could I buy all that? One piece at a time. A little bit goes a very long way in that sense. Who's got on your list of things to do in the next month or so? A flu shot. Who needs to have that on your list? You've done it already? Flu shots are good for you. A little bit of immunization will hopefully keep you healthier than you might otherwise be in the next months. But that little bit of flu shot vaccine is good for everybody in a way that a lot of us don't think about. Vaccinations protect individuals, but they also create something called herd immunity, as in we are herd, let's call it community immunity, all right? That the spread of viruses is slowed, blocked, and arrested, even for those who are not immunized, because a lot of the rest of us are. Little bit of immunization creates not just immune protection for you, but herd immunity. Look what can be done with a little bit of good. Maybe more specifically, and in keeping with the tone of the story, I was reading up on Breedlove Foods these days. And I've been looking at what Breedlove and the Food Bank and many, many other organizations and agencies like it are doing with many accumulations of small donations. Breedlove is in the dehydrated food business. They literally feed the world. And they do it in a remarkably efficient way. Breedlove Foods has 40 employees. And in 2015, they distributed 1.5 billion with a B meals. I mean, okay, it's dehydrated, it's not surf and turf, but it keeps people alive. 40 people distributed 1.5 billion meals to keep people alive. A little bit of good expanded is a miracle in some ways. So we've got the relative efficiency of what we get from tax contributions. We've got herd immunity. We've got Breedlove feeding the world. How does that translate down to our own selves? What can God do with a little bit of good in us? How often do you say to yourself, you know what, if everybody lived just like me, everything would be great. And how come that guy doesn't do this with his kids or that with his job? Or why doesn't she blah, blah, blah? Get it? What can God do with a little bit of empathy? Empathy is unique to people with heart. And I think the church, you know, helps us be more heartfelt. Empathy means looking at somebody else's life, even the nature of their lives that are, they're doing it wrong. Empathy opens the possibility in a tiny little corner of your head that if you were that person with that history, living at that moment and faced with that decision, there's at least a small chance you might do just the same thing. There's at least a small chance. It's the walk a mile in my shoes. No more complicated than that. But empathy, there's a chance I'd do that too, leads to a second tiny little piece of good, and that is self-restraint. Self-restraint. Self-restraint, metaphorically, from hitting send or hitting post or opening your mouth directed at somebody with antipathy. I am really good with words. It's how I make my living. And I'm also really good with words that can cut people to ribbons. Haven't done it often, but I haven't done it never. Mostly when they richly deserve it and have it coming, by the way. But here's the point. Every single time I have righteously, much less self-righteously, let somebody have it, I have regretted it. Because it's harder to live inside my own skin. Self-restraint, a little bit of good, not only keeps the bile out of the air, it's good for you too. A little bit of empathy with a little bit of self-restraint can do unimaginable good, or maybe prevent unimaginable harm. And finally, I think a little bit of courage can do amazing things. And for this, I rely on this notion of community again. It's sort of like bringing herd immunity back into a different kind of discussion. I believe that all of us have lived long enough to look back on our lives and say, you know, if I'd known I was going to go through that, I would have said I couldn't do it, if you follow that. And yet, here we are, post whatever that is, we did get through it. And we got through it because other people helped. Other people showed us the way. They gave us little bitty tips and strategies. Hey, you know what? I can't make the flood stop. I can't make the disease go away. I can't heal the broken bone. But you know what? This little bit helps. This little bit helps. And that little bit of shared care builds courage. And that courage becomes something other people rely on. What can God do with a little bit of empathy, self-restraint, and courage? God can do miracles. Jesus can do a miracle through your life. I have said before that my favorite Bible verse isn't in the Bible, but it should be. Let not the ideal be the enemy of the good. Let not the ideal be the enemy, or even not let the good be the enemy of the helpful, you know? we sometimes find ourselves paralyzed, like just can't do it all. But you can do something. The parable of the multiplication of loaves, the second most quintessential memory of Jesus of Nazareth in his miraculous and healing way. He does so under his own personal duress and in the company of people who really didn't plan very well, I might add. Going to go off chasing Jesus in the country, at least pack a lunch. Look what Jesus did. And imagine what Jesus can do with, for, and through you with a little bit of good. Amen.